Oh, thanks, Rhys. I know I'm not the tallest person, but this is... Wow. I'm just going to... Yeah, I'm going to fight on my knees. There might be another one. Maybe I'll just do that. I could put my shoes just here. And I don't know. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Got to be careful which songs you select, haven't you, I guess? Great. Well, am I roughly central? Just for the camera, is that okay? Yeah, cool. Sorry. Just checking. Well, what an amazing God we have. I mean, what a morning, and what a saviour. And it's funny, I was saying to a few people today, I feel a bit sort of half-baked. I feel like I've prepared, but it's not quite there. And God just fills in the gap, you know what I mean? It's amazing how God's people come together. And everything that's been shared is absolutely incredible. And it confirms a lot of what God has shared with me. I've titled this morning, Being with Jesus in the Spacious Place. Being with Jesus in the Spacious Place. I don't know about you, but in the Bible, there are certain verses I try and get away from them, but I can't get away from them. They are things that God has laid down. And if we're honest, I mean, we know that God has placed his word within us. And his word is with us for eternity. So actually, it's a great thing that we can't get away from his word, because it is in us for eternity. And I want to speak about that a bit this morning. Amazed, absolutely amazed by what Alan shared at the beginning, because my very first verse is from 1 Peter, so the context has been set up perfectly, so thank you, Alan. I just want to read this verse before I start. So 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 11. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I find so often when we are surrounded, when we are struggling, when we can barely lift our eyes at certain times, it's not so much that God tells us what to do, but he reminds us who he is, and he reminds us who we are, and he reminds us where we are. Now, he may then tell us what to do, but if we haven't got those three things in place, then, you know, we're not ready. But God is doing that wonderfully amongst us, and God is always doing that. He is telling us who we are. He's telling us who he is, and he is telling us where we are. So I just read that verse there from 1 Peter, and, I mean, each of those amazing things could be unpacked and have a sermon each. You'll be relieved to know that I'm not going to do that. It's particularly risky because there's no clock up at the moment. In fact, my phone this morning is chiefly so I can see the time. I want you to drink those things in. I want us all to drink those things in this morning. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, the verse I was referring to that I said I couldn't get away from, it's actually not that one, although that is that's definitely a one I do come back to. But it's Psalm 18. I'm actually going to use my phone for this now. So Psalm 18. Sorry, I just had a momentary loss of... Yeah, in the theme of not knowing what's going on. So Psalm 18. Here we are. So Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place, it says in some translations. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I've not been able to get away from that verse. It has particular meaning for us, I think, this morning, that God is reminding us of that wherever you feel like you are at the moment, you are in a spacious place. We were in a void. You know, like the beginning of the earth. And when God made the earth, it said that it was formless and empty. Before we knew Jesus, we were like that. We were formless, we were empty. But wonderfully, because of the saving love of Jesus, we've been brought into this amazing, spacious place where we share the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To know God, to know Jesus, is to know that we are in a spacious place. And it's an amazing comparison, I think, when you think of a void. I mean, you know, how big is space? Space is the very definition of a void, although obviously there are many things within it. But, you know, the comparison, there is no comparison between a void and yet the spacious place that he's brought us into. They may seem alike, they're absolutely not. Because the spacious place we've been brought into is full of good things. It's full of him. It's full of God. We've been brought into his presence, and it is the best place to be. We could not be in a better place. And I'm going to just focus a little bit on that word fullness as well. Just keeping an eye on the time. So he fills us with joy in his presence. I mean, Steve preached that wonderfully last week about the joy that we know when we are in his presence. There's no joy like it. He fills us with joy in his presence. Ephesians 1, verses 22 to 23 says that the body, us as the body, we are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Do you know that God is the very definition of fullness? He is completely full in himself. And it is out of that that he pours out his blessing to us. Another favorite verse is from John chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." Knowing God is knowing his blessing, it's knowing his fullness. I don't know if you've read the book of Colossians recently either. I was having a look through it recently, and do you know that word just keeps coming up again and again? Filled, full, fullness. You can't get away from it. So just to remind you of some of that, Paul prays for God to fill the believers with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him, and bear fruit in every good work, all the while growing in the knowledge of God. What a prayer that is. I'm so encouraged that we're in a church where we pray that for each other. You know, I know there's people who pray that for me all the time, and I pray that for others. And I just encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, let's pray that all the more. Let's pray that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because it's only then we can live a life worthy of the Lord and bear fruit. We also read in Colossians about the fact that God dwells in his fullness in Jesus. We see the fullness of God. You know, Jesus is the revelation of who God is to us. We meet Jesus and we come face to face with his greatness and his beauty and his glory and his splendor. And, you know, Jesus is just full of every part of who God is. And just as it says that God dwells in his fullness in Jesus, we are filled from the very same source. Also talking about fullness, and this comes back to some of the themes from this morning. If you read on a little bit in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24, I'm sort of part paraphrasing here, but it says in verse 24, Paul fills up in his flesh what is still lacking in Christ's afflictions, which means that he knows his suffering is not empty, but he is sharing in Christ's afflictions so that others may come through. You know, we're not just full of hope, grace, peace, life, joy. We're full of everything about Jesus. He fills us in every way. And that means that when we go through things, when we suffer, it is not meaningless, but it has great meaning. Knowing Jesus brings us hope in our sufferings because we know that through our pain, the purposes of God are accomplished, and we are united with Christ in what we go through. So in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, and I'll explain these words a little bit, but Paul says that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want to encourage you this morning. God does not bless us despite our sufferings. He doesn't bless us around our sufferings. He blesses us in our sufferings and through our struggles. In the natural, it can seem like the circumstances need to change urgently. And sometimes they do. Sometimes we pray and God will change the circumstances. But it's equally true that God enlarges our hearts at the very points in our lives when we feel naturally constricted. So do not be afraid this morning. If you're in a tight situation naturally, it hasn't all gone wrong. God has not abandoned you. God still has you firmly in his hand. And even in the midst, maybe even especially in the midst of that situation, God wants to reveal to you again that you are in a spacious place. Even though in the natural it feels constricted, you are in a spacious place because of what he has done and who he is. God wants you to be enriched and grow, even if the situation you're facing seems impossible. Now, in Colossians, we can read on. I'm sort of paraphrasing it a lot this morning, and you know, please, by all means, read it again yourselves later on. But I just want to bring out the main themes. In Colossians, the purpose of the suffering Paul experiences are very clear. He says he's presenting the word of God in its fullness to the generation around him. He describes it as the mystery that has been kept hidden for generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has made known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes what we go through can be revealed to be very much about holding out that word of life to others. And even in the midst of the sufferings that you go through, there will be great fruitfulness and blessing through what you're suffering, what you're going through. And that's certainly true for Paul. He was going through immense suffering, but he knew the purpose. He knew that the word of life would be formed in the people of God. And that wonderful promise that the mystery that's been revealed is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. I mean, I'm going to return to that a few times because it is just absolutely staggering. So just to speak more about God speaking into our difficulties, then I'll return to that point. I feel strongly that God wants to help us this morning in the difficulties that we face. I want you to be encouraged, and you are, I know, already encouraged by what we've sung, what's been revealed to us this morning through God. He is facing your battles with you. You're not alone. God knows the situation even more intimately than you do. He feels the pain of the struggle even more than you do. He wants to carry your burdens. He doesn't want to place burdens on you. He wants to carry your burdens. It's easy to think in the natural that when we face difficulty, it's a test of our character. You know, we have, I know at the moment, those who are in certain year groups or certain age have exams, and I as a teacher, I certainly don't take for granted how difficult that is, and it's a really stressful situation, and it's a test, and there is a lot of pressure. In the natural, we see that all around us, that there's a test. It might be an interview we're going for, or something else that we face on a daily basis. And we can see what we see in the natural as being a test of our character. Will we pull through? Will we step up to the mark? Will we be able to get through? But in the spirit, it isn't like that. If anything is being tested, it is our willingness to bring the problem to Jesus and to remain yoked to him. That's a big test. God delights in facing our trouble with us. True maturity is on calling on the name of Jesus quickly. That's true maturity in God, is calling on the name of the Lord even more quickly as we get older, as we get more firmly rooted in Jesus. He wants to remind us of that. God wants to prove himself to us. He doesn't want us to prove himself ourselves to him. So this is this is actually in opposition to natural growth. Normally in culture, we value it, that sense that as we grow older, we get more and more independent, and we rely less and less on other people. It's treasured, it's looked up to, it's seen as an example of how to live in the natural. In the spirit, we become more and more and more dependent. We become more dependent, not less. We need him, or we realize we need him, more and more and more. As we walk with God, we learn more and more that it is the opposite. We become ever more dependent on him. Now, this may have been shared already at some point, so I'll just share this. God wants us to know this morning that he knows our difficulty intimately. Nothing has taken him by surprise, and he wants us to know this morning how great his compassion is in our situation. One of my favorite books is called The Magician's Nephew. Okay, who's read The Magician's Nephew? Okay, lots of people, good. A lot of people, their favorite book in the Narnia series is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I can absolutely see why. I absolutely love The Magician's Nephew. It's chronologically the first Narnia story, even though it was written later. And it covers the creation of Narnia and how evil first came to be in the picture. And the character of the White Witch is introduced, and the main characters are at fault in the book for bringing the White Witch into Narnia. So the main characters, Diggory and Polly, who bring this White Witch into Narnia, introduce evil into the land. Early in the story, we learn that Diggory's mother is seriously ill, and it's clear that the outlook is not good. And when it becomes clear that the evil has been unleashed in the land, Aslan asks Diggory to go and fetch an apple with life-giving qualities so that it can be planted and provide protection against the White Witch. And at that point, Diggory falters, and he realizes that he has possibly an opportunity, and he asks Aslan, is there anything that can be done for his mother? And what happens next is beyond what he could have expected. So I'm just quoting from the story. So it says, up until then, he had been looking at the lion's great feet and the huge claws on them. Now, in his despair, he looked up at his face. What he saw surprised him as much as anything in his whole life, for the tawny face was bent down near his own. And, wonder of wonders, great shining tears stood in the lion's eyes. They were such big, bright tears compared with Diggory's own, that for a moment he felt as if the lion must be sorrier about his mother than he was himself. My son, said Aslan, I know. Grief is great. Only you and I in this land know that yet. Let us be good to one another. The lion drew a deep breath, stooped its head even lower, and gave him a lion's kiss. And at once Diggory felt that new strength and courage had gone into him. It's a reminder that whatever we face, God isn't just there, but he knows. And he knows more intimately than even we do. He suffers with us in our difficulties. And wonderfully, at the end of that little extract there, the kiss brings him the strength and courage that he needs. We need the strength and courage that Jesus brings us this morning and every morning. He is the hope of glory who has come to live in our hearts. It's amazing enough, and we've sung it, that he surrounds us on all sides. He goes ahead of us. He leads the way. He goes behind us. He deals with our past. He's beneath us. carrying us and all our burdens. He's above us, lifting our heads and being the one that we look to. And he's beside us, yoked with us, walking alongside us in our difficulties. But even more than this, he's within us as a body. Each one of us carry the living God wherever we go. All of his compassion, all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his devotion to the Father. God wants to remind us this morning that he has chosen to live in us. It's not an accident. He doesn't come to live in us begrudgingly. He comes with great delight because he loves us. Let's just remember that this morning, that God has led us into a spacious place. And he reminds us of that each day as he dwells within us. I've got one final point to share, which is also a verse that I couldn't get away from. And it's in Zechariah 2. And I read this during the lockdown a number of times. So if you turn to Zechariah 2, just verses 4 and 5 say the following. I'm not going to read the whole of the passage, but just this bit. So Zechariah 2, verses 4 and 5 says, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord. And I will be its glory within. Now, when I first read this, I was quite taken by the idea of a church without walls. And my first instinct was to think, well, it's talking entirely about we don't need walls. We don't, you know, God will be our wall about us. Now, that's actually right, I suppose. You know, it's right to say that God is our wall. And it does say later on in that verse, God is our wall of fire. But actually, that's not the emphasis here. The emphasis here is not firstly about protection. As it says, because the great number of men and livestock in it. The emphasis here is not about protection, it's about containment. It's about the fact that God's blessing on his people is uncontainable. You can't physically build walls enough big enough to contain the blessing that God brings to his people. It's not possible. It's speaking of the explosion of growth that God was bringing to his people at that time. God's blessing to us, the way that he's come to live in us right now, is beyond our ability to contain it. There are rivers of living water flowing through each one of us. And they will not be contained. We couldn't manage it if we tried. And I'm reminded of Alan's picture recently, which he shared. I don't know who was here for that, but when he poured that, was it a glass of water into a jug or something? I can't remember. A jug into a glass, probably. It's probably the other way around. And he poured the jug of water into the glass, and he didn't stop. You know, you're kind of thinking, you know, at what point do you slow down? It's nearly full now, but he kept going. And the whole point was blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing, overflowing, cascading over the edge. That's what God is doing with us at the moment. So just invite the band back up. Let's remind ourselves this morning. I mean, we have all morning. I feel like what I've brought this morning is, as you know, there was just so much from before that I've just shared again, really. But I just want to emphasize that we are in a spacious place, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like. We're in a spacious place. He lives with us, and he wants to bless us. I'm going to keep it simple to finish. Let's look to Jesus this morning. Let's look to Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the lifter of our heads. He gives us hope and courage whenever we need it, whenever we ask for it. We just need to look to him and trust him. Let's just fix our eyes on Jesus again. and trust him.